Pam is going to come and bring us our Bible reading for today.
Last week we came to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and now we will see what happened next. And we're starting at Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, and that's on page 972. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And then over the page, in chapter 8, starting at verse 23, Jesus calms the storm. Then Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." Amen.
Okay, thank you, Pam. I'm not sure how many weeks we've been in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm reckoning around 25 or so, or there around about that. And this morning is our last Sunday. We kind of conclude our time in the Sermon on the Mount. And this morning, we're really only looking at two verses, the last two verses, which was, I think, 28 and 29, which can seem a little bit almost incidental or even insignificant, and certainly not worthy of a whole sermon. Well, I would say that couldn't be further from the truth. I wonder how many of you enjoy baking? Anybody enjoy baking? Any bakers amongst us? Well, nowhere to come if I need cakes then, don't I? you will know then that if you forget just one ingredient when you're baking, then the whole thing just turns out wrong, doesn't it? It's the difference between a delicious cake and a disastrous cake, I suppose. So it's possible to have everything correct when you're baking. You know, all the correct ingredients going by the book, everything weighed and measured correctly, everything done in the right order, put in the oven for the correct, at the correct temperature for the correct length of time. But as I say, if you've just forgotten one thing, then what turns out is not what you are expecting. And I would suggest that if we don't understand these two verses that come at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, then we fail to understand the Sermon on the Mount. We fail to get what it's about. So let's put those two verses back up. And I know Pam's read them to us, but it'd be nice if we can just read these two verses together. So let's do that. Let's read these together. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. Okay, so only two verses, and actually only two words, which I'm going to highlight from these two verses. I wonder if you can identify what those words might be. Authority, yep. Amazed. And amazed. I am amazed that you got them, no. So amazed and authority. These are the words that we need to get right as we kind of step off the mountain, as it were, with Jesus, step off the hillside, and kind of before we move on. So let's think about these two words. First one, amazed. I think other translations, certainly in the King James Version, uses the word astonished. And I prefer the word astonished, as you might see. As Jesus and the crowd step off of that hillside, they are astonished, we're told, and they were amazed at his teaching. Like a lot of Greek words, it's made up of two words, this word amazed or astonished. So it's made up of two words. One is ek, which means out of, and the next word is plektos, which means to strike. So we could say they were struck out of their mind. And that's the kind of idea, we might say they were blown out of their mind. You know, their minds were just absolutely blown, listening to what Jesus had said. They're exploding, wow, we've never heard anything like this before. They were absolutely astonished at what they have just heard. But to be astonished isn't enough. To be astonished at Jesus isn't enough. When we hear that word, when we read that the crowds were amazed, okay, it is the crowds who were amazed or astonished. That should take us back to the first warning that Jesus gave. Who was on the wide road? It was the many, wasn't it? It was the most, it was the majority. Or we could say it was the crowd. It's the crowd who are amazed. But just earlier, Jesus said, well, basically, the crowd are on the wrong road. And we should kind of pick up on that. It's the majority who are astonished. The many, most, were astonished. See, Jesus never had a problem gathering a crowd. Crowds, people would come from all over the place to see him, to listen to him. But in the Gospels, it is never the crowd who genuinely follow Jesus as disciples. It is never the crowd, it is always the few. Just think of the crowds, for example, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The crowds, the mass people, number of people, and yet only days later, I guess many in that crowd would shout, crucify. The crowds were astonished at Jesus. And perhaps there's a warning in here for us as well. You know, if we're astonished by Jesus, perhaps his teaching, his miracles, to know that being astonished isn't enough. It's not the same as knowing him by being astonished. So the crowd were astonished at what they had heard. They had never heard anything like that before. But we need to experience the second word, and that is authority. Authority simply means having the right or the power to rule over someone else or something else, usually a dominion or something like that. See, when the scribes and the teachers of the law taught, as they often did, their authority was in what other people had said. So they would quote people, they would cite what other respected people had said down through the centuries. No, Rabbi so-and-so. So they would quote, Rabbi said this other rabbi said that. And that would kind of authenticate or give authority to what they were teaching. You know, I agree with Rabbi so-and-so. And you've all heard Rabbi, that's what gave them authority. It basically came from other people who were highly respected. But Jesus taught by his own authority. He's not citing or quoting anyone else. Do you remember in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus quotes from the Old Testament and he would say, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." No, not Rabbi so-and-so. No, I say to you. So he speaks with his own authority. Jesus is quoting from Moses. Where did Moses get his authority from? From God himself. God spoke directly to Moses. And here's Jesus saying, "Well, Moses said, but I say." So he's putting himself equal with God himself. I speak with the authority of God. So, I mean, the only authority higher than Moses was God, wasn't it? And Jesus is quoting what Moses said, and now he says, "But I say to you." So let's spend a few minutes thinking about authority. We all know what authority is, don't we? But let's just kind of dig into it a bit. I want to put up a picture that you'll be all very familiar with. It's a red octagon with a white trim, and it's got four letters on it, spelling one word. Do we have that? Stop. Okay, we've seen these in numerous places. And that piece of metal, which is on a pole about 6 or 7 feet or 8 feet or whatever it is, has tremendous authority. You can be standing in Timbuktu or driving in Timbuktu and you come across this and you'll stop. Anywhere in the world, you see that sign, you approach it in your car or bike or whatever, you will stop. No Arctic lorries will stop. Everything will stop. Now, why? Because it has some authority. It has there's a power in that sign. And everyone, well, hopefully you all stop when you come to a stop sign. What gives that four letters, that one word, such authority? Where does it get its authority from? Well, presumably from governments or, you know, people who get together and think, well, actually, it would be safer for everyone if we just had a stop sign. And so it is given that authority by governments. Where do governments come from? Where do they get their authority from? Well, they're elected by people, aren't they? And we can actually trace authority all the way back to God himself. And it was God who gave us authority as people made in his image. He's delegated authority to people. We would have no authority unless God gave authority to us. So let's just think a little bit about God's authority. Here's another picture. Anybody know what that is? Well, apparently it's the Milky Way. If you go online, and you'll see many different pictures, I suppose, of the Milky Way, but that is one of them. Now, our galaxy, the Milky Way, is just like a grain of sand in the universe. Apparently, there are billions of other galaxies. And God spoke everyone into existence. Okay? God said, and it was so. God said, and it was. I mean, that's authority, isn't it? God said, and there it is. No questions asked, no debating. That's authority. Now, I want us to listen to what the Bible says about Jesus. So two passages, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, he was with God in the beginning, and he is Jesus. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Okay? And the next one from Colossians. For in him all things, that's Jesus, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So this is the Jesus who is stepping off the hillside. I mean, if we were to read in, we read about the storm, if we were to read into the next two or three chapters in Matthew's Gospel, we see incredible authority from Jesus. So you say to a leper, be clean. And instantly the leprosy is gone. That is authority. He heals Peter's mother with a touch. He casts out demons with a word. And then we find his disciples on a boat in this life-threatening storm. And with one word, that storm is stilled. That's authority. What else does he do? He heals a paralytic. He raises a young girl from the dead. He restores the sight of a blind person. What authority Jesus has over nature, over disease, over death, over everything. He has all authority. So the crowds were amazed. They were astonished. But simply to be astonished, it's not enough. We need to come under his authority as well. And it kind of got me thinking, how is it that Jesus can say to a disease, for example, be gone, and the disease is gone? Or Jesus can say to a storm, be still, and it's still? Or Jesus could say to a dead person, rise, and they rise? How come everything bows to his authority? Everything in creation obeys his authority. Yet Jesus could say to you and me, follow me, and we can walk the other direction. Fascinating. Jesus speaks and we can turn a deaf ear. All creation obeys him. Whether it's demons or disease or death or storms, all creation obeys him instantly. It's mind-blowing. But Jesus could say, follow me, and we can say no. No thanks. Are we stronger than disease? Are we stronger than nature? Are we stronger than death? Of course not. But you see, the issue isn't to do with strength. The issue is to do with love. Jesus isn't looking for a relationship with nature. He's not looking for a relationship with disease or death. But he is looking for a relationship with people. With you and with me. And we are the only part of creation that gets to choose to submit to his authority. And so as we conclude the Sermon on the Mount, I want to give us all an opportunity to do that. It'd be so easy just to move on, or just to be astonished. But are we willing to place our lives under his authority? You know, our relationships, our finances, our futures, our hopes, our dreams, our whatever it might be, and say, Lord Jesus, I place all of that under your authority. Yes, I'm astonished. Yes, what you say and do blows my mind. There's no one like you, but I want to take that next step and say, I come under your authority completely. And so I thought the way we might do that is just to do it in a prayer. And as you close your eyes, I'm going to ask you just to simply put your hand up and then put it down again. As a marker, really. No one will see you because we've all got our eyes closed. But if you want to say to Jesus this morning, I want to come under your authority and live my life under your authority, then indicate that. That's what you want to do. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for this amazing series of teaching given by your Son, the eternal Son of God. Just sat on a hillside, teaching a crowd of people amazing truth of how to live in a way that pleases you. And Lord, we've sat and listened as well, and we felt the challenge of it. And Lord, we too are astonished because you say things that no one else has said. You teach in a remarkable way that goes right to our heart. And so, Lord, as we just put our hand up and put it down again, we want to say that we, that I, want to live our lives under your authority, to surrender to you. And Lord, would you enable us to live this life that you teach us to live? Lord, that we might respond well when we hear your voice. Lord, give us a sensitivity to your Spirit so that your voice becomes clear to us. So we bless you, Lord. We thank you for this amazing sermon given by Jesus. And we respond to it this morning. Would you help us by your Spirit, Lord, now to live it out day by day. Be our strength, our hope, and our joy. For we ask it in the name of Jesus.